Hi guys, we hope you're enjoying the show you're listening to now. We have a show that we think you might like. I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And we present a show called Rise of the Robots,
where we cover such robot combat shows as
Robot Wars,
BattleBots,
King of Bots,
and BuggleBots,
where we recap these shows and review them, and document the rise of the robots.
You can find us on your podcast app of choice or at audioboom.com. Just search for Rise of the Robots.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering Catwoman Hunter.
Female-led film that isn't Wonder Woman.
Yes, and the first full-length Catwoman movie we've had. We've had one short one that was part of the DC showcase, but this is the actual first proper film.
I mean, I guess some of the DC superhero girls, but they're kind of more team things.
So. Yeah. So This film's certainly quite uniquely styled. It's done by, so it was OLM, was the Japanese studio who actually did the animation, who are the same guys who do the Pokemon anime.
No, I mean, yeah, it's definitely got an anime feel to it. I thought that was quite fresh after some of the other stuff, especially the last couple where the animation's not been particularly outstanding, and I'm not saying this was necessarily outstanding. It was just nice to see a different style, see the characters depicted slightly differently. I mean, and we didn't get some of the characters, which was kind of cool in a way.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
You sound very unconvinced.
No, actually, I am convinced. I'm just not entirely awake. I think I've put a note on this at some point. It's like, wow, they actually made effort with this animation.
Yeah. I mean, it's got a style. Like, I can see some people might not like it, but I just appreciated having something that felt a bit different and cool.
Also, the casting's fairly good. There's a couple of bits of you could maybe argue stunt casting, but most of the actors are.
Someone's got quite a flat voice, though. There's a Batwoman, maybe. It's quite flat.
Well, that's probably the person I would say is stunt casting, because that's Stephanie Beatrice.
Yeah.
The rest of the kind of major actors have done voice acting before.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, anyway.
It's also one of the hornier films we've done as well.
Yes, but thankfully not hornier than the short, at least.
Which short? Do I remember that?
The Catwoman, it tied into year one. Half of it was in a strip club.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know, actually, because there was a complete seduction scene here.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, no, there was, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
So we jump straight into the opening credits, and from the opening credits, the music in this film is insane.
It is insane. It's like I said, anime style. It's fully on, full on.
Yeah. So we, in the opening cutscene, in the opening credits, we see Catwoman breaking some women out of a prison.
Mm-hmm.
This later turns out to be important.
Yes.
So, the actual main film starts at a large mansion in Spain. There is a party where Black Mask is attending.
Yep, he was the only one I really recognised.
Yes, that's one other thing with this film. At least it's going to... A lot of the villains in this film are guys we haven't seen.
What? Yeah, and then there's the odd person they just throw in for the sake of it.
Yeah. So also involved here is Catwoman arrives It's not quite clear if Black Mask knows it's Selina Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
But she uses Black Mask to get into the party. Black Mask is meeting with Barbara Minerva.
Yes.
Who, if you've watched anything involving Wonder Woman, you probably know who that is.
Yes, vaguely.
Also greeting them is Tobias Whale, who I think is a character we haven't seen before.
I didn't know, yeah, I had no idea
who
he was.
He's generally a Black Lightning villain.
Okay.
I know he's one of the major villains in the Black Lightning TV series.
Mm-hmm.
So, Black Mask is seeking to join a... I don't know what you call them, a mega cartel?
Yes.
Called Leviathan. Which does exist in the comic books.
Yeah.
And the principle is the same, which is that, spoiler, Talia al Ghul is running it in the background.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's about all the two organizations share in common.
Yeah.
Because I think one of the, like, the version that shows up in the comic books, like, a lot of the members tend to be Batman villains.
Mm-hmm.
Which they aren't in this.
Insane.
To the point where I think one of the regular members is a clone of Damian Wayne.
Yes. That's crazy.
So, Black Mask has brought an emerald to Barbara Minerva to get entry into the Leviathan group. Meanwhile, Catwoman has successfully managed to change into her normal costume.
Uh-huh.
And her cat works as, like, her cat seems very well disciplined in this.
It's very well disciplined. I mean, yes, he's a very good boy, girl, whoever.
Isis, so...
Girl.
Yeah, obviously the... Actually, no, this was brought out fairly recently. Well, Isis, the goddess, is a girl, so...
Yeah.
So, the cat sets off motion sensors in the roof, meaning they turn them off. Catwoman's then able to manipulate the camera system, so she ends up getting to the very center of the vault, even managing to bypass a laser grid.
Mm-hmm.
Only for someone to throw a batarang in, setting off an alarm.
Yeah, which is funny.
So a chase starts between Catwoman and various goons.
Mm.
At one point, a car explodes during this chase, which makes it weird when Catwoman later says, "Oh, I promised someone I wouldn't kill."
Yes. Oh, I wonder who.
I wonder. Batman does very much loom large in the background here.
Yeah, yeah.
But at least he's
not on screen.
He doesn't appear.
So that's kind of like, I was sure he was going to show up at some point.
Yes. We do also see that, speaking of, well, Batman might be in this film because someone in a bat costume is pursuing on a bike.
Yeah. I got very confused in the party that everyone's wearing, like, Justice League costumes, and I wasn't really sure, like, it took a little moment, so.
Yes. I don't know if it's, like, it's a Justice League-themed costume party. I don't.
Yes, know. Yeah, something like it feels like it is.
I mean, you do get the impression that if you lived in the DC universe, anytime there's a fancy costume, there would be ton of superhero costumes. So, eventually, the chase enters a town, and Catwoman is able to get away. Until Batwoman interferes and causes Catwoman to crash.
Mm.
Really quite badly. this then enables Tobias Whale to get hold of the emerald and to return it. And Selina wakes up on a jet with Batwoman Julia Pennyworth.
Yeah, yeah.
And King Faraday. So, I think Faraday's shown up before. Julia Pennyworth certainly hasn't.
Yeah.
So, they are currently following Barbara Minerva and Black Mask because they put a tracker on the Emerald.
And which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And also to go, no. We didn't want... The reason we were interfering is because we wanted them to have that.
Yeah.
So... They then give Catwoman an offer, which is, if you help us with tracking down Leviathan, we will make all warrants for your arrest disappear.
Which is pretty cool.
Because they're working for Interpol.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, Barbara's on the phone to a unseen woman, later obviously Talia al Ghul.
Yeah.
Asking for Catwoman to be for a hit to be put out. So after Pennyworth and Faraday leave, Batwoman and Catwoman are—that's going to get confusing. are left on the plane, and yes, as you can have mentioned in passing, Catwoman manages to seduce the mask off Batwoman's face and steal her phone.
Yeah, which is a little bit strange because she's like, she's not really going for, I mean, you feel like she's really going for it, and then she's just kind of like, no, I just want your phone kind of thing. I mean, you don't know that, but it's a bit strange.
It's, yeah, at first it is kind of like, okay, is that how we're going?
Mm-hmm.
And then the reveal is, no, she was just, to be fair, at least it's something a little different in that it's...
Yeah, I tell you, I felt bad for Batwoman being so easily bested in a way.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, I don't feel they would have played Batman like that. And I don't necessarily mean falling for the seduction. I meant more the unmasking. So, like, I could see her falling for the seduction and having her... But, like, when she actually takes her wig and mask off, I was like... It just made me go, ooh, I don't know. I mean, I was like, it's interesting, but it was a little bit not sure I love it.
Yeah.
So.
But regardless, so Catwoman does manage to successfully get Batwoman's phone, where she calls Holly, who I take it is...
That one that
Holly Robinson.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Checking how the other girls are. Because they mentioned kind of in passing that Catwoman has been doing a lot more work than usual.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of... It's never outright stated, but it's heavily implied that it's intentionally kind of to build up funds for letting everyone get away.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we meet the other members of Leviathan.
Mm-hmm.
Who are Mr. Yakuza.
Yeah.
Who doesn't have an entry on Wikipedia, so I'm assuming he's made
just
up
funny.
For this film.
Yeah.
Dr. Xin Zhaoxin. I do apologise if I...
Yeah, I wasn't going to go there, yeah.
Who is a character that has existed in the comic books, though is considerably more stereotyped than this version.
Right.
LaDama, who is from the comic book, and Moxie Mannheim. Who I'm not sure if he's meant to be English, if he's meant to be American. He is the head of Intergang, though.
Right.
So, It's also implied that Moxie and Black Mask have unpleasant history. This is also the second time that Sochi is mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it turns out that's what we saw in the opening credits.
Yeah.
So, afterwards, so Batwoman and Catwoman suit up. At this point, Catwoman gets very defensive and says only one person's allowed to call her Cat.
Mm-hmm. We know who that is.
Yep. Also, Batwoman gives Catwoman special goggles. And when Catwoman even hints at going, well, what's to stop me abandoning you? It turns out that Batwoman has the ultimate trump card because she has her cat.
Yes, well, that's always... I mean, if you're going to get me on side...
Yeah.
That's I mean, how to do it.
We don't mention the fact that I did kidnap Ozzy 4 years ago and he's actually sitting on my lap right now.
If only, right? If only.
Well, how
he's
else...
a naughty boy.
How else did I get you to stay? Catwoman parachutes on to the roof of the building I've lost my notes. Where Leviathan is meeting.
Yeah.
But waiting for Catwoman is Cheshire, who is a member of the League of Assassins. This is the same character that showed up in Soul of the Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
So she was the...
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very different version of the character.
Yeah.
So, anyway. We get an obvious pun, which is, oh, we're going to have a cat fight, aren't we?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's like literally waiting the whole game for that one, so...
So, at one point, Cheshire mentions, oh, I've got you with some jellyfish poison. Catwoman goes, yes, I know that's the poison you use. I've already built up an immunity to it. So it's good to have... Catwoman's obviously been taking some lessons in being prepared.
Yeah, yeah.
So... Cheshire has the fight won when Batwoman interferes. So Cheshire also has a bat on her side who is Nosferatu.
Yeah, which is weird, right? That's just a weird name.
It's a weird name. It's a weird character.
Yes.
I don't even... Is she a vampire? Vampire? Is she a person? I don't know.
It's weird.
It's weird. It's just so that we can have a fight between two cats and two bats.
Yeah, yeah. Bat, bat, cat, cat.
So, after a quite good fight, to be fair.
Yeah.
Everyone falls through a glass window... so that they're hanging above Leviathan. Catwoman and Batwoman work together to cause Cheshire and Nosferatu to be their landing pad.
Mm.
And now they've just got the entire cartel of Leviathan to fight.
Yeah, which is a lot, yeah.
And these guys go hard! So, all the, Yakuza guys all have swords, the head of the triad has the ability to create monsters from potions, Moxie Manaheim and two of his goons have robot suits. And LaDama summons two demons who, I'll be honest, were just an excuse to get Steve Bloom and Keith David to voice second characters.
Oh, really? I mean, I just didn't see the point of them generally. I mean, like, I wouldn't care about getting them in to play second characters either.
Yeah.
It was all a little bit strange.
Plus also Tobias Wales there as well.
To be honest, yeah, my main complaint about the film, but we'll talk about it later, is just some of the extraneous stuff.
So, fight breaks out. At one point, Catwoman mentions that Lady Shiva trained her.
Yeah. Like, I didn't get that. I didn't understand that as well, but I was like, okay, in this world, we want to do... I guess we want to be her to be a pretty good martial artist or something.
I'm assuming so, yes. But, so, Mr. Yakuza's fairly easily taken out. So the main fights then end up being Tobias Well versus Catwoman. Batwoman is able to gum up LaDama's mouth and trick the demons into disappearing. And then the Interpol jump in as well. And it leads to everyone getting defeated apart from Barbara Minerva, who's got away.
Yes. More of her another time.
It's a good fight. It is a little bit overblown.
Yeah.
And obviously Catwoman is victorious by going low.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's good in this movie, but not that good. Despite the fact that Barbara Minerva got away, Catwoman is able to get her clean slate. And we cut to a couple of months later in Paris.
Uh-huh. Yeah. A couple of months later in Paris.
So, Catwoman is still getting hunted by the League of Shadows. In fact, she is sitting on the Eiffel Tower surrounded by 52 of them.
Yes.
Only for Batwoman to jump in and help, and we get a scene of the two of them being competitive with how many people they can beat. And it's mentioned off screen, the cat helped you knock out two.
Yeah, because the cat is overpowered and superior.
Yes. So Batwoman and Catwoman are then walking away from the fight when Minerva and Talia, who are following them, drop a crate of Solomon Grundy in front of them.
Yeah, like, he just, that's the most random. It's like, literally the most random. Like, we don't need him all the time. Like, just because he just popped in randomly for the other one.
It's almost like, we need someone who is a legitimate enough threat that he can be taken seriously.
I know, but didn't he just randomly appear in a couple of the other ones?
Yes.
And it's just like, maybe it's just the timing of these. It's like, maybe he was in everyone's mind. It's like, oh, let's just drop him in for an extra bit of flavour.
Why? Because the last film he kind of dropped into was Long Halloween, but it made more sense because he is kind of an established character in the comic book. Mm. And heck, at least it meant we got the one scene I can think of in any of these films where Batman is absolutely unquestionably nice.
Yeah.
Solomon Grundy knocks out Batwoman. Catwoman is able to successfully defeat Solomon Grundy whilst blowing his head and hand off. With the caveat of, well, he'll be able to regenerate, so it doesn't count. That's the only reason. He's the one character that can kind of justifiably...
Yeah.
No matter what we do,
yeah,
he'll be fine.
It's fine. Just chuck him in there.
Literally, I think he's died once, and that was in one of the Justice League cartoons, and it's actually meant to be one of the saddest moments in DC comic animation history.
Oh, really?
It's meant to be, like, properly well-written.
Okay, maybe I'm just bad with cartoons. I'm like, okay. But, or maybe it's because maybe DC characters haven't, like, inspired me to not care as much. But, like, I do like him, but I just think that just because we've had him so recently seen him pop up elsewhere, it's, yeah, a little bit, it's a lot.
Particularly because it's the, this is probably the one time, yeah, he's the one that can, because we've had so many characters that we haven't seen regularly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so eventually Minerva arrives.
Yeah.
And reveals, oh yes, I am a werecheater.
Yeah. I mean, okay, this is where it lost me. Because I thought before this, the plot was a nice story arc. And then with this like random stuff shoved on at the end, which does kind of connect. It's just I wasn't as interested in it.
It's the definition of, and now we have a boss fight.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So it's very clear that Catwoman is completely outmatched in this fight.
Yeah.
She ends up getting very seriously hurt early on. And most of the rest of the fight is her trying to get away from Cheetah.
Mm-hmm.
It eventually finishes with Catwoman and Cheetah on top of a crane.
Which is just funny.
And at this point, Catwoman goads Cheetah into attacking her by saying, oh, no, you know, Saatchi. Yeah, that was me too.
Yeah, which is just funny.
The pair are then struck by lightning.
Which is weird.
Out of nowhere. And then as they're falling down onto a construction site, Catwoman is able to, Catwoman is saved by Batwoman,
mm-hmm,
whilst Cheetah is impaled, but she has increased regeneration, so she's fine.
Yeah, it's weird. Like you see her impaled, and the next minute she's kind of up and ooh, hello.
Yes. So, Interpol takes away Cheetah and Solomon Grundy. Selina Kyle says, you do realise that no, the leader of Leviathan is still out there.
Of course.
And that, oh, no, it's kind of implied that she was manipulating Interpol all along? Or some, basically,
yeah,
that she'd,
yeah,
she'd been targeting Leviathan,
mm-hmm,
anyway, because Barbara Minerva had been trafficking people, and Selina disappears, having stole the emerald again.
Because why not?
And she is on a ferry on the way to London, and that's the end of the film.
Yeah, I mean it's not too bad.
It's not too bad. It's, I said, the music's a bit much, but it's, and also it's strange looking at the front cover and Black Mask is the villain depicted on the cover.
Yeah,
when
yeah,
he's really a non-factor. But, yeah, I think it's
quite
one of the better
it.
Films we've watched.
Yeah, I thought the last 15 to 20 minutes lost me.
Yeah.
But I was quite enjoying it. I like the style of the animation. I thought the voice acting was mostly okay. Yeah, it was a fun little story, you know? It's a bit different. We're not in Gotham the whole time, you know? We don't have... Batman's just... it's nice to see Batwoman out there as well, acknowledging,
yep,
the wig and stuff like that.
So, yep. So the next film, we're on to episode 100.
Mm-hmm.
How did we get to episode 100?
I have no idea.
So, we'll be covering DC League of Super Pets.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the last theatrical film we're likely to do with this as a regular podcast.
Wow.
Because everything that's already out and everything that's been announced out is direct to well, I don't know if it's direct to streaming now as opposed to direct to DVD. Following that, we're doing Teen Titans Go and Teen Titan and DC Superhero Girls Mayhem in the Multiverse.
That's the last of those DC Superhero Girls.
Yep. And last of Teen Titans Go.
What a shame.
Followed by Green Lantern, Beware My Power, which might be the first film we've watched where John Stewart is the lead character.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Followed by Battle of the Super Sons.
Exciting.
And the third of the DC Showcase films, which is headlined by Constantine House of Mystery.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a fun lineup. We're getting there.
Yep.
Only 17 or so more to go.
And that's, even then, that's 17. That's including five films that aren't out yet. If we're still recording, yes, when those come out.
Yes.
That's actually a discussion we do need to have. What's going to happen when we, yes, run out of stuff to do.
Yes.
So anyway, we will be back in 2 weeks' time with our 100th episode and, yes, the last episode that we're doing in 2023.
Hooray! We move on to another year.
To be fair, it will be the last year of the regular podcast.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure.
Anyway.
Which is weird, but kind of cool.
But you can still hear our dulcet tones elsewhere. Have you done any podcasts recently?
I just did a Into the Night Moon Knight podcast on issue 28 of the new Moon Knight run, the start of the last days of Moon Knight.
Okay.
Building up to his death. How about you and your robots?
Yes, we are currently, as this is coming out, coming through the last few episodes of Robot Wars Extreme Warriors, which was the American version of Robot Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Though it was still filmed in the UK, weirdly.
Of course. I mean, of course.
We'll then be finishing the year with a special episode. And then we'll be jumping into Robot Wars Series 6, which is probably the most infamous series of Robot Wars, certainly the most controversial.
Oh, why? Or should I not ask? Should I listen?
It's basically in the grand final championship deciding match, one of the robots some people say they cheated, and some people say they interpreted the rules well.
Okay, they cheated, basically.
Perhaps. It's kind of complicated out of context.
It's controversial. Some people think they cheated. Oh, yes. Exciting.
Pretty much.
I mean, yeah. What do they get for winning? I can't remember. Apart from glory.
A shiny trophy and reputation.
Okay.
It's one of the few things Grizz and I disagree on in Robots.
Oh, so it'll be a fun podcast.
Pretty much.
Nice.
No, we've actually, it's been a gag in our podcast for about 4 years.
Wow, and you're finally getting to it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, anyway, so that's what we've got coming up. So we'll be back in 2 weeks' time with League of Super Pets.
Can't wait.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 international license. Thank you for listening.